Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parishnam saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna param sadhana shri vishakandhitam hey krishna iron bar because the book doesn't stay out there. It's so heavy you put a little stone or something. You usually put a piece of marble or something. Very heavy book. Iron. Oman Ganatanandasya Ganjana Shilakaya Chakshura Militam Yenatas Mai Tri Gravenamo Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Visaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nirasesha Shunyavari Paschacharya Chatarane Sri Varsha Bhanavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vigyana Dayane Prabhave Nama Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namane Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Vanchakopa Chubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Vatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Jaya Jaya Hari Nama Chidananda Amritadam Paratatva Akshara Akar Nidajana Kripa Kori Nama Rupa Avatari Jive Doya Kari Vayapar He Chai Gosai Kori Chalanan Vandan Yahuite Viganash Avishta Puran Shri Sanatan Sri Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jira Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Sadgoswami Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura ki jai, Shri Kartiki Devi, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Kartik Niyam Seva ki jai, Vaishnava Sarasanga ki jai, Shri Bhajan Rahasyam ki jai. Page 1. Pratama Yam Sadhana Nishant Bhajan Shraddha. This is Nishant Bhajan from 3:30 a.m. until 6 a.m. And this is these first few verses. Of course, the entire Bhajan Rahasyam is a commentary in a Bhajan manual. It's a commentary on Shikshastakam in a Bhajan manual. But before beginning any auspicious work, there must be the prayers of, actually before beginning anything in devotional service, there must be prayers. If we want to perform Anusthan, which is some particular service, We offer so many prayers before, such as yesterday, we want to chant during the eclipse. So before we start, we have to pray to Guru Parampara and to Radharani. Then we make our sankalpa of what we want to offer. So many rounds or so many Gopal mantras. So every prayer is vital in every beginning and end of every performance of devotional service. So this is called Mangala Acharan. The auspicious prayers. So the first verse of Bhajan Rahasyam is very similar to the 11th canto of Bhagavatam verse, which glorifies the Panchatattva and their mission. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam Sangopam Gashta Parishadam Yagyai Sankirtana Priyer Pajami Kali Bhavanam. So the translation is given. The first three lines are the same as the 11th canto. The last line has been modified by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yajantihi Sumedasaha. The original verse in 11th canto of Bhagavatam is Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Those that are intelligent, that understand that the ultimate meaning of human life, they will apply their God-given intelligence to the process of understanding and realizing God by the performance of Nam-Sankirtan. And this is a yaja, or a yaga. This is a method of yajna, sacrifice, and a method of worshipping God, and it's the best one for Kali Yuga. So Bhaktivinoda uses this as a mangala-charana to establish the ishtadev of the book, and to establish the conclusion of the book, and to glorify the ishtadev. Pajami Kali Pavananam. So we'll discuss that. The translation given here. I worship Sri Gaurangadev, who delivers the living entities of Kali Yuga, Kali Pavan, through the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names, Sri Nam Sankirtan Yajna. Mahaprabhu describes the name, form, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna. Mahaprabhu performs kirtan of the two syllables Kri and Shna. Mahaprabhu's complexion is fair. He is surrounded by his angas, associates, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, and his upangas, his servitors include Srivas Pandit and other pure devotees, and Parishads, confidential companions like Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sri Rai Ramananda, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, and the six Goswamis. And Gauranga is endowed with his weapon, Astra, of Harinam, which destroys ignorance. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the standard in this book is that, this verse originally comes, as he notes here, from the 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse 32. He takes each of these Sanskrit verses, of course this one he slightly modified, and it's Mangalacharana, and he puts into Bengali. Because to establish the authenticity, or the authorization, of his book of Praman, he relied on all the scriptures, Bhagavatam, Puran, and other Goswami writings. And practically, across the board, all of these scriptures are written in Sanskrit. And for the Bengalis, what to speak of us, but for the Bengalis, Sanskrit is also difficult, just as it's difficult for us, or impossible, let's say, for us. So he very kindly, immersively, he put all the Sanskrit, each individual Sanskrit reference that he gives in his commentary and his explanation of Bhajan and his commentary on Shikshastakam, each shloka he puts into Bengali, which is the language of the people, because originally the whole book was published in Bengali with the Sanskrit Anuvad, the verse in Bengali character, but the Sanskrit verse. And of course it's all poetry and like Bhajan. Kali Yuga Udarite Para Tattva Hari Navadvipe Aila Gora Rupa Avatari Jugadharma Krishna Nama Smarana Kirtan Sangopange Vitarila Diya Premadhan Jivera Sunitya Dharma Nama Sankirtan Anya Sarva Dharma Nama Siddhira Karan. And the translation of this, this is his Bengali rendition of the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, describing the advent and activity of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his associates. Sri Hari, who is the Absolute Truth himself, descended in Navadvipa as Gaurasundara to deliver the living entities of Kali Yuga. Together with his associates, he distributed the treasure of Krishna Prem through Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan, the religion of the current age, Yuga Dharma. Nam Sankirtan is the living entity's only eternal religion. All other dharmas are simply secondary means to attain perfection in chanting. Anya sabadharma nam siddhira karana. Nam siddhi. Anya sabadharma. Anya sabadharma. All other types of religious practices or quasi-religious practices such as yoga or any type of spiritual practice, they're contributed towards or the cause of nam siddhi. He's saying nam siddhir karana, but they of themselves they will not give siddhi, prem siddhi, which we discussed earlier, which is our paramgati, our prayojana, prem seva of Radha and Krishna. But he says that they're auxiliary, they're helpful if they lead you to nam. By performing Nam, by chanting Nam, then one will get that perfection. So they can be the precursor or the preliminary cause. This Anya Sabha Dharma, all other dharmas can be the precursor or the cause of attaining perfection in chanting Nam. So it's a rather long purport, which is a commentary on this verse, which is also purported, 11th canto, in the BBT edition. So we cite this as a Mangalacharna, and I'm going to skip over to text 2. There isn't so much. You can read on your own if you have the book, but we're trying to make a presentation. I wrote one or two sentences. Bhaktivinoda Thakur invokes auspiciousness by praying at the lotus feet of his Ishtadev, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this Mangalacharna verse, which is slightly modified from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto. Our only duty in this age of Kali is to do Gauranga Bhajan. He uses the word Bhajami Kali Pavana. He changed his last sentence instead of Sumedasha, like this, Yajantihi Sumedasha. Kali, he says, Kali Yuga Pavana, Bhajami Kali Pavana. He says, the purifier of Kali Yuga, we should bhajami. We should do bhajan, or worship of the purifier of Kali Yuga. And so that means Gauranga Bhajan. And our godbrother, our illustrious godbrother, Pujyapad Srila Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, I believe he has a band called the Gauranga Bhajan Band. Is it right? Is there something like that? Or maybe, is it right? And they go everywhere and do Kali Pavana. They purify the resonance of Kali with the holy name. So this is Gauranga Bhajan. So now the second verse that he cites, which will bring us back again to some of the themes that we've been discussing in the first days of the introduction to this class. This is the second verse, also the Mangalacharan. And this is from Stavavali. It's called Sri Shachishun Vashtakam by Raghunath Das Goswami. Nijatve Gauri Anjagati Parigriya Prabhu Iman Hare Krishna Devam Gananan Vidina Kirtiyantabo Ati Prayam Shiksham Charana Marupevya Pariti Shan Shachisunu Kimme Nayanat Sharanim Yasyati Padam. Excuse me. Raghunath Das Goswami is praying. When will Shachinandan Gaurahari appear on the path of my eyes? Gaurahari accepted the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in this world, who are like bees at his lotus feet as his own, and he instructed them to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by counting a fixed number of rounds. So, the purport is there. Devotees can read the purport. I've summarized the purport in our notes and add a point or two here and there. So read our notes. This is also Mangalacharan, but in the Mangalacharan, in this particular, the first Mangalacharana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is offering obeisances to the lotus feet of his Ishtadev, Bhajami Kali Bhavana, to Lord Gauranga. And now he's giving some indication how to do Gauranga Bhajan in the second verse, which he's citing as praman or reference from Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote this shloka after Gaurahari left this world, crying constantly in separation from Gaurahari in this very place. Maybe we can still hear him crying, because sometimes the great saints, they say they have the vision or realization that the liberated souls that have entered Nitya Lila, they're still here in their Chinmaya Deha, in their spiritual body. They're still here in vibration. They're still here in action and vibration in their bhajan kutirs or in their samadhis, and emanating their blessings, and emanating even their crying. Sometimes, it's from the higher viewpoint, they consider that it's literal, but from the lower viewpoint, we might consider that it's metaphorical. But transcendental phenomenon, being transcendental, is beyond sense perception. Hoksaja Krishna. So, for those that are on the level of chinmoy, or spiritual energy, then they can perceive, yes indeed, in his sadhaka roop, Raghunath Das Goswami is on the banks of Shamakund, and he's crying as he's crying constantly in separation from Guru Hari. At the same time, in his Siddharup, as a Kishore Brahman, he's in Navadvip and enjoying wonderful service pastimes with Guru Hari. And at the same time, he's in Braja Gokul as Rati Manjari, serving the lotus feet of Lita Sakhi and Rupa Manjari and his or her Swamini. So all these possibilities are there, and even more possibilities. So he's crying constantly in separation from Guru Hari. Remembering the beauty of the son of Shachi, he's overwhelmed in separation. Remembering the loving kindness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and hankering to see him again. He's saying, when? I mean, he's seeing him moment to moment, but for our benefit, he's saying, when will Sachinandan Guru Hari appear on the path of my eyes? When will I see him again? Because he did see him face to face, eye to eye. In Puri, he lived very intimately over 16 years with Lord Chaitanya. And then he came here and lived, so 35 years, something like that, 30, 35 years in the banks of Shamakun. So he was seeing him, Sakshat Darshan, and then he had Darshan and Spurti, moment to moment. But still he's hankering. He's hankering and crying in separation for our benefit. So when the sadhaka, or when, let's say, the practitioner, reads verses like this, describing Lord Chaitanya, this verse, the intention is, and we read it over and over again with some illumination, then this verse will soften the heart, and it will create hankering in us. This is, we may wonder how that happens, but it happens. This verse will kindle feelings of separation from that most merciful Sachinandan Guru Hari. In Raghunath Das Goswami's case, he's hankering to see Lord Chaitanya again. But in our case, we're hankering to see him once, for the first time. So the element, the principle is the same, hankering. He's hankering, and his hankering is so intense that it is developed into crying. He's absorbed in the hankering. Like we might say, oh, it'd be nice to see my Gurudev again. And then, okay, oh, what's for prasadam? Okay, yeah. You know, so we may have a momentary flash of hankering for the association of some great devotee, or what to speak of, Krishna or Gauranga or Guru. But moment-to-moment obsession with this moment-to-moment obsession with this feeling of hankering, which becomes so deep within us that we cry, then it must be very deeply felt, because it takes a lot, it takes an awful lot to make a Kali Yuga resident cry. Really have to be moved. Maybe if the earth splits under your feet, you may start crying for help. Help, help, my right foot is going north and my left foot is going south. And the earth is going, hey Bhagavan, come, I'll cry for help, right? We have this expression in English, don't we? Cry for help. Help my body. Help, please help my body. I'm crying for help. Or some, help me, help me. What's wrong? My house is burning. All my money's inside. Go get the suitcase. I broke my leg. You know, help me get my money. But crying to see, feeling, hankering. We read the descriptions in Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Chaitanya Chandramrita, and other books about the incredible beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That Gauranga Mahaprabhu is more beautiful than a million cupids, and whatever type of poetic embellishment or alankar that they can use to the upteenth degree of adulation, they pour out from their stylus or their pen to glorify the Lord. More beautiful, you could say, more beautiful than Cupid, who intoxicates everyone and puts everyone in bewilderment in this world. But no, not one Cupid, and not 10 Cupids, not 100 Cupids, but a million Cupids. In other words, these numbers, the Acharyas, Vishwanath says, when these type of numbers are used, It's simply it's an outpouring of the ecstasy of the poet. It's the Kavi's ecstatic bhav being expressed through his pen, the poet's ecstasy. At the same time, it's to give an idea that it's unlimited. You get the idea. When we say a million cubits, it means it's, oh, what's that? I can't figure that out. You know, how much is that? How much? One cubit is enough to finish me off. If one cubit happens to choose me to be his victim, then I'm finished. Varna, ashram, health, everything, money, everything's finished with one arrow. Bung! And now, so one cupid releases one arrow into the heart of any man or any woman in this whole universe, and they become lost. From Lord Shiva to Brahma to the bird and the tree. So what to speak of a million cupids appear before you to assail you with his weapons? So who is that? Who is that? That is Gaura Hari, Gauranga, Gaura Sundara, Gaura Chandra. Yesterday we saw Gaura Chandra, right? The Mayapur Chandra Uday, the rising moon. So beautiful, isn't it? Didn't want to leave. In the water, and so much darkness inside, and then so much darkness outside. And then finally there was some light at the end of the tunnel. The full moon night of the Sharad season was rising, and inviting us to enter the tunnel of light. And it was almost like a white tunnel. It reminded me of a brilliant, effulgent white tunnel. And I was immersed in darkness, surrounded by darkness, the dark waters of Shamakund. And my heart was submerged in the dark waters of ignorance. And then all of a sudden this moon rose. I said, oh, there's a way out of here. This is the moon of Gaura. I just was feeling Gaura Chandra, Gaura Chandra. And then it was like golden color when it first came up. Then it became red. It became reddish, right? It was like gold. It was like Gaura Chandra. Then I thought, oh, Krishna, your cheeks are being tinged with a... Then I thought it was Krishna Chandra. First it came Gaura Chandra, and then it came Krishna Chandra, because the kumkum from Radharani's face was being reflected on the face of Krishna Chandra. It gave him a reddish hue. Because Krishna looks at the moon, and he thinks of the moon in relation to him. But when we look at the moon, we think of the moon in relation to Radharani. You know, this is an angle of vision, right? So the anchoring, this is one little point we want to think about today and consider. Because our Mangalacharana, our Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is trying to set a particular mood here for his book, Mangalacharan, Auspicious Invocation, Beginning. Let's enter into bhajan. Like someone might say, all right, we're going to go to the mountains. Well, what do I need? Well, you need some warm clothes and good shoes and maybe a few packs of survival food, dry fruits. They'll tell you different things, a compass, a Swiss Army knife, a canteen. And they'll tell you so many things to outfit yourself and prepare yourself for the escapade or the journey or the expedition, I think is the right word. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a master guru, or spiritual master. He's trying to outfit us for the journey of bhajan. Okay, now we're going to embark on the bhakti marg. Well, hopefully we're on it. And on the bhakti marg, we want to walk on a particular lane. Like there's many lanes on the highway, the fast lane and the slow lane. So we want to be in the fast lane, which is the bhajan marg. We want to do bhajan. So what is required? What do I need to traverse that path in the rapid way, in the quick way? Well, you need certain, not track shoes. Of course, you need track shoes, but the track shoes are internal. We have to put wings. Mercury is the wing god. Represents motion, communication, speaking. Budvar. So we have to put wings on our heart. Our heart requires wings so that we can fly down the path of bhajan marg. So what are those wings made of? The wings are made of special qualities. Humility, hankering, like this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is starting to outfit us for our journey of bhajan, and with his Mangalacharana. Get ready, because once you get to the destination point, when you start climbing, you can't start climbing and say, oh, I forgot my compass. I left it in Delhi. Anyway, you have to be ready when you start. So this verse is that already the Bhajan, the secret, he's starting to open his bag of secrets. Okay, here's one, and then one. So when the sadhaka reads this verse with a soft heart, it will create hankering within us and kindle feelings of separation from that most merciful Satchinandan Gaura Hari. So there's he says, I'm waiting. When will I see on the pathway of my eyes again Gaura Hari? And in our case, it's when will I see him for the first time? Oh, Gaura Hari, you're so beautiful. You're so merciful. You're so kind. Please show yourself to me. So there's like if you ask someone, how are you passing your time? And he says, I'm hanging around. I'm hanging around Vrindavan, not doing much. I'm hanging around. So now you might ask another person, what are you doing? And he says, I'm waiting. So what's the difference between hanging around and waiting? Hanging around means you're passing time, but you don't have anything particular on your mind. So many of us may be doing bhakti like that. Well, I'm hanging around, just chanting around and hanging around. And then when I finish chanting my round, I hang my rounds, I hang my beads on the nail. Right? But waiting with this mood of hankering is actually the term is utkantita bhav, yearning, utkantita. So Sanskrit's interesting language, because it's often the words themselves describe the actual physical activity. Uto, to rise up, to extend. Kanta, neck. Like what we call these beads, they're called kanti mala. Is that right? Kanti mala. The mala, the garland, the necklace, the mala around the neck is called kanti mala. So utkantita. What's the example of utkantita? You have the wife, is her husband is gone on business to a foreign place. He's been for 1 month away. He said, I will arrive on October 18th at 3:30. So, and he's been gone for a month. A newlywed wife has only been married, say, 6 months or a year. So then, as the days get closer and closer to the 18th, she becomes more and more eager. And then when it becomes the 18th at 1 o'clock, she's really eager. And then it becomes 2 o'clock, she's really eager. Right? Then at 3 o'clock, she's all ears, her eyes, her nose, all her senses are ears, and they're listening. Because he's going to fly to the airport and get in his car and drive 2 hours to his home. And then, so she knows, and they live on a street with not many cars, because she knows the sound of his car and everything. She's so tuned. So she's listening. It's at 3 o'clock. And then at 3:15, she goes to the door, and she opens the door, and she looks out, and she goes like this. She looks to the left and to the right, and her ears are extended, and her neck is extended. Where is he? Is he coming? Did he take the side coming? Is he coming in from that direction, or is he coming in from this direction? Her neck is up. So extending the neck, the body, the neck extends when the mind and heart are full of eagerness to meet the beloved, or intense hankering or yearning, then the head will extend. So this is utkantita. So when this is a bhav, when this is a feeling or a sentiment or emotion and a vibration within the heart, within the core of our heart, when will I see Gaura Hari? I want to see Gaura Hari. Then that will create enthusiasm. The neck of our bhakti lata will extend. It's not that we're going to go around all day, where's Gaura Hari? Anyone see Gaura Hari? Although I gave an example from the physical body, but this principle applies to the subtle body, to the heart body. Our heart must be filled with utkantita bhav, this hankering. And Raghunath Das Goswami is trying to point us in that direction. by showing us his own hankering and crying constantly, when? His neck is, maybe his neck is also extended, but I doubt it. But certainly his heart is extended and he's yearning. So this is the difference between waiting around. We're waiting. Oh, Prabhu, how are you passing your time? He said, Maharaj, I'm very fallen. I don't have any attraction to chanting the holy name. I fall asleep when I read. I don't really have any idea about Krishna or myself. But I'm eager. I'm reading about Lord Chaitanya and I'm hankering. Is it possible? He's so kind. He's so merciful. He shows himself to his devotees. It's told that wherever Shudanam is chanted, that the Panchatattva descend there, like in Keturi Gram. There was a Keturi Mahotsav. And he says that wherever Nityananda dances, Gauranga will go there. And he dances in the courtyard of Srivas Angam every night. So I came to Mayapur. I don't know much, but I read that he's dancing every night in the Srivas Angam. So I'm going there tonight. And I'm going to chant. And maybe Gaurahari will show himself to me. I'm hankering. I'm going there. He says he goes there every night and chants. So now I made it to Shiva Sangam in Mayapur. So sometimes if someone has a little sincerity, some of this hankering may come, or by association. Or someone says, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Panihati. This is the Panihati Utsav. Now I'm going to bring some chip rice. Because Nityananda Prabhu appears there every year and distributes his mercy under the banyan tree. Isn't it right? This, oh, you're going there? Oh, by associating with you, I have some hankering also to see Nityananda under the banyan tree on the bank of the Ganga at Panihati. Where is it? How do I get there? And before long, I'm going there with my pots of chip rice and hankering. Oh. So, in other words, Raghunath Das Goswami is telling us we shouldn't be just hanging around, passing time. We're waiting. There's a difference between hanging around, which is passing time, and passing time with it while waiting and hankering to see Lord Chaitanya or to see Radharani. So many times, Prabhupada, he says, he quotes his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. He says that one should act in such a way that Krishna will want to see him. But in other places, Prabhupada writes, he said, one should be eager to see the Lord. One should be eager to see the Lord. And so there's two things, but the principle of seeing is common to both. Bhaktisiddhanta says we should act in such a way that the Lord is eager to see us. So part of acting in such a way that the Lord becomes eager to see us is that we generate within ourselves an eagerness to see the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes that statement is explained in this way. Wash the pots. You should serve. You should serve in such a way that the Lord, you should be, eager to wash the pots, and then the Lord will be, oh, you're doing nice service, I'll come and show myself to you. It can be said like that, and it's usually explained like that. One should not try to see the Lord, one should act in such a way that the Lord sees him. Isn't it told like that? And usually, that's the quote. And usually it's used, yes, so clean the temple floor 24 hours a day, and act like this, and carry out my order, and by that good action, the Lord will be eager to see you. Isn't it usually told like that? That's not. But it can also be explained, part of acting in such a way is that you have hankering. Krishna, why I'm acting? I'm crying constantly for you to show yourself to me. I'm also cleaning the temple floor. But while I'm cleaning the temple floor, and acting in such a way that you will be pleased and try to see me, I'm also hankering to see you. So there's physical action, and then there's heart action. So the physical action may be the same, but when the heart action and the mind starts hankering, and the heart is hankering to the point where when the mind starts hankering, and when the mind may be hankering, that's a good start, and when the mind hankers intensely enough, and the heart says, oh, you're hankering so much? Let me help you. Then the heart holds hands with the mind, and then the heart says, listen, I'll give you some fuel for your hankering. You're thinking that, oh, I want to see. But you haven't had the feelings. So let me inject feelings into your thinking. And when the feelings come from the heart, the fuel of feelings is crying. So when your hankering goes deep enough, then the heart combines with the mind, and now comes tears. You're actually crying constantly and hankering to see the Lord. And this actually, the tears of hankering pave the way. They actually clear the way to see the Lord. Like the windshield of the car. You're driving the car and it gets all mud and dust on it. And in India, so much dust. You can't see very clearly. You put the wipers on, then you can see out the window. So the eyes, hankering, when the tears are there, when the eyes get clear, and you can see, oh, who is that? Am I? So this is, we're waiting. We should acting in such a way means hankering, when. Because if you read these bhajans from the Stavavali of Bhagavad Das, and so many, kave have bolo sedhyanamar, when will that day be? When? This is a very common concept. When? So, that when means hankering. In other words, we must mix hankering into our bhajan. One has nothing to do when he's passing the time, and the one who's hanging around has nothing to do with just passing the time, and the one who's waiting, he has something to do, and his mind is absorbed in that. He wants something, and he is just waiting for that specific thing to occur. The essence of sadhana bhakti is given in this verse by Raghunath Das Goswami. This is a summary of the points in the purport from this book and also the edition of Bhajan Rahasyam, which I was given. Is it published, that one? It's not published yet. It's in Hindi, but it's an edition of Bhajan Rahasyam with commentary by Bhakti Vallabha Tirtha Maharaj. Is it right? I think so. Is it right? Yeah, Mada Maharaj is Mad. They have also, I had the Srimati bestowed upon me an English copy. So, this verse, the essence of bhakti is given in this verse by Raghunath Das Goswami, and we've given part of that essence, and we'll develop more. Our success is a matter of waiting. That's why Rupa Goswami incorporates this as one of the key principles of bhakti, where he says, utsaha nischaya dharayat, that there must be great patience. We must have patience. Patience means that patience with hankering. In other words, it's a combination of being peaceful and disturbed. Be peaceful and disturbed at the same time. You're peaceful because your senses are controlled and your mind's absorbed in serving Krishna. But you're agitated. Your senses aren't agitated. Your heart is agitated. Because you're agitated, we're agitated because we have no love for Krishna, Guru, or Gaura. But most of us are agitated by Vajravega, Manasakrodha Vega, or all of us. But that agitation must become conquered, Vijito, by mercy of Goswamis, Guru Gauranga Goswamis, and Bhakti Bhajan. So, when we chant Harinam, this is a question you can answer yourself, within yourself. When we chant Harinam, are we waiting? Are we expecting anything to happen? Yes, I'm waiting to fall asleep. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Because in yoga shastras, they say the first hour, when your first hour of meditation, after 1 hour, usually when people wake up in the morning, most yogis wake up between 3 and 4, irregardless of the pursuit or path of yoga. They wake up between 3 and 4, and they're quite wide awake and alert. For the first hour of bhajan meditation, etc., most yogis are awake. And then after, this is a common factor, and after the first hour, then tamagun assails everyone. They're completely in sattvagun, or not, somewhat in sattvagun, depending on other factors. But this nidra gives you a reprieve for 1 hour. She held you in her grips for 6 to 8 hours, and she's like Nisringa and Hiranyakashipu. He was playing with him like a cat. Cat plays with a mouse. You would catch him, and he'd go, ooh, ooh. He's like squirming, and then Nisringadeva would sit here. And then Hiranyakashipu would run around, chomp, and pull him back again. So nidra is like Nisringadeva, the tigress of sleep. And so the tigress of sleep swallows us and grabs us in her claws at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. Then at 3 o'clock, oh, you want to get out? Okay. And she opens her paw and she lets us out of her paw, her hand. And then for 1 hour, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then 1 hour goes by, Hare Krishna. And then she thinks, okay, come back. So this is a phenomenon. So why, when we're chanting Hare Nam, while we're waiting, we should be chanting with this mood, expecting something to happen, not sleep, but expecting, oh, there's such a wonderful mantra, so powerful. The Radha and Krishna are here. This is the Prem Sarup. This is Radha and Krishna. Everything, we're having Leela, everything is here. But please, will you show something to me? These are prayers. Siddhi Lalas are hankering some for perfection. Chanting with a mood of hankering. I mean, this is magic. This is a magic mantra. Someone says, I'm going to give you a pill. You take this pill and watch what happens. It's magic. You'll see. You just get ready. So you take this pill and, wow, what's happening? Some magic or something. You know, they have these type of pills. So Mahaprabhu, you know, is giving us this mantra. And Raghunath Das is, and Bhaktivinoda is saying that we should chant expecting it's such an amazing, a transcendental, you know, drug. It's a mantra oshadi that something should happen. And we should want something special to happen to us. We should be hankering. So are we waiting for anything to happen? Why not? Why don't we have that mood, or why aren't we having that mood? And the key phrase in the verse, which is given in this second verse, Bhajan Rahasyam, he says, Nija. It begins the first three words. Nijatve Gauriyan Jagati. Nijatve Gauriyan Jagati. He's saying that the residents of Gauriya, of Nava, he says a Nija, as he means the Om, of course, is a common word in our prayers, Nija. Nijadasi, we sing the Tulsi. Aneva Danadara, say, Nijadasi, please make me your own. Right? Nijadasi. O Tulsi Manjari, please, O Tulsi Devi, please make me your maidservant. Your own, your maidservant. So Nija Gaudiya Jagati. So Nija means his own. In other words, Sri Gaura Hari, because that word is used, Shachi Shuno, he's accepting the residents of Gauda, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as his own, Nijatve. This means that Gauranga, from his side, he had a strong sense of mamata, or possession, for the residents of Navadvip. In other words, minus, as we've been discussing. It's the same as Sanatan Goswami describes the same term. This is Raghunath Das Goswami, but in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he uses the term Lokik Sad Banduvat. Right? Lokika is alokik and lokik. Lokik means like loka, this loka, this planet, lokik. Right? It means ordinary, natural, pertaining to the world. Right? Loka. Loka means planet, so lokika. And Bandhu, Dina Bandhu. What does Bandhu mean? Friend. And then Vat means like, or possessing. Like we say, Bhagavan possesses opulence, or he's like this. So it means to have bound a friend with natural affection and attachment, or natural affection and attachment for each other. So Lokika Sad Bandhavat is another way of saying that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially in Navadvip, they feel mamata, a strong sense of possession towards Gaura Sundara. In other words, they truly think that Gaura Hari is ours. The residents of Navadvip in Mayapur, they felt that way, that Gaura Hari is ours. This is Lokik Sad Bandhavat. And Raghunath Das Goswami is saying in this verse, he's describing how Lord Chaitanya feels towards them. Oh, you want to possess me and you feel that I'm yours? And you have that feeling? Well, let me, you should understand. Nijatve, he says, Gauriyan Jagati. He says, I have a strong feeling of possession towards the Gaudiyas. Such feelings of intense possessiveness towards Bhagavan is a symptom of deep praying for Krishna. The Bengali Vaishnavas relate to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like an ordinary friend. That's why he uses the word Sachi Suno. He's a son and mother of Sachi. They don't use the word Mahaprabhu. They don't use this word because there's too much. Or they say Vishnu Priya. When you go to Dameshwar, Mahaprabhu, and Navadvip, what is the mantra there? Jai was Sachi Nandana Gauraha. Jai Sachi Nandana Gaura Hari Vishnu Priya Prananatha Nadia Bihari. Or Jai Sachi Nandana Gaura Hari Garadhara Prananatha Nadia Bihari. And then they have, or you can say, the residence. He's the beloved, he's the pran of everyone in Gaudiya, of Gauda, Gaudadesh, Lord Chaitanya. So they don't see him as Mahaprabhu, because that's a touch of this distance, awe, and reverence. The Navadvipa Vasis, they think he's our Sachi Suno, and we're born here. So he is ours. He's a pundit, and so am I. I'm Gangadas Pandit, and he's Nimai Pandit. Right? They have fights and with Murari Gupta, and they fight, they throw ink on each other, right? They wrestle on the banks of the Ganga, and they throw mud on each other. This is their mentality, their Abhiman. They're proud of their Sachi Sundar, Sachi Suno, the Gaura Sundar. So the conclusion of this verse is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing this verse to indicate the way to one way, or the way, to attain success in bhajan. He shows that the way to continue throughout the book. He says we should try to be like Raghunath Das. He's showing, because Raghunath Das will be quoted a lot as one of his authorities or mahajans for his discussion and explanation of the Shikshastakam. So we should try to be like Raghunath Das in having mamata or possessiveness for Sachi Nandan, for the son of Mother Sachi, to have this natural love, Lokika Sadbandhavat, and waiting for him to come give us his darshan. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We have paintings of Gauranga descending from the sky, almost like Jesus with his hands across the water. You know, this pictures of Jesus like this, hands raised, oh come everyone under my shelter. So Gauranga is hands in the sky, coming down from the spiritual sky to deliver all of us, right? So it should be painted in the canvas of our heart, such an image. Gauranga, please, we can ask ourselves, do we ever hanker like this? To see the golden Lord? We have two Lords, the dark Lord and the golden Lord. The nighttime Lord and the daytime Lord, right? They write books about the dark Lord. Sham Sundar, Ghanasham. So the golden Lord. Like when devotees, they go to buy a toothbrush and then they think, oh, which color should I get? So sometimes they're in Gaura Bhav, so they get a yellow one. And sometimes they're in Krishna Bhav, so they buy a blue one. Or sometimes maybe they're angry and they buy a red one. Or maybe they're in the mood of Anurag. In other words, there's a certain kind of, devotees see things in a different way and they act in a different way. They want everything to be anukul. So this hankering, because when we read these type of verses, and he's crying, Bhaktivinoda was telling in his Bengali description of this verse, he's saying that Raghunath Das, he's crying for that opportunity. So we can say, yes, they're telling us we should hanker to see Gaura Hari. Yes, I've seen some beautiful deities. Our Srila Prabhupada, he would visit his different temples, and he would go to different temples where they had Gaurani Thai deities. Then he would say, he would come to Miami and see the Gaurani Thai deities and say, these are the most beautiful Gaurani Thai deities in the world. And then he would go to Atlanta, Georgia, and they also have Gaurani Thai. He said, these are the most beautiful Gaurani Thai deities in the world. Like this, to encourage all the devotees, because each one is the most beautiful. So we may say, I've seen some very beautiful deities, or I have my own beautiful deities of Gorgadadhar, Nitai Gaura Sundar, Gaura Hari, etc., Mahaprabhu. And so we're happy, we're satisfied with that. But are we actually hankering in our heart to see with the eyes of our heart, Gaura Hari? And when we chant the holy name. So this, because to come to Radha Krishna Bhajan, we must follow the path of Gauranga Bhajan. So some elements of Gauranga Bhajan are given here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as Mangala Charana. So now he's saying these are some of the activities that we should incorporate into our bhajan. Because every one of us, we're all chanting Hare Krishna. But do we have this type of, is our mind adjusted? Is our mind set on this particular point? Is our heart adjusted to this particular idea? Or is it somewhat scattered or directed in another way? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to fine-tune the movements of our heart and the vibrations in our mind. So this is a very... It sounds... Because these words are common. We're always hankering for something. Material or whatever. So we say, oh, hankering. But hankering and crying and to see Lord Chaitanya, you know, this is something we have to consider. So try to be like Raghunath Das Goswami, at least in this indication of his thinking and feeling, having mamata. We're waiting for Gauranga. We're not hanging around, we're waiting. We're passing time, but we're waiting with hankering to see Lord Gauranga. Give us his darshan. It's true we've never seen Gauranga. Yet he's very compassionate. Yeah, excuse me, the compassionate Goswamis like Raghunath Das, they write verses like this for whom? For us. So that what can we do with this verse? What can we do with this verse? We can do upasana. We can worship this verse. Upasana. It's called Mantra Mayi Upasana. This means that when we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we can read and remember this verse and then try to mix our hearts with the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. We can spend 1 week. We have a lot of time on our hands. Well, at least we hope so. No one really knows. But at least we hope we have a lot of time. And so we can say, alright, I'll dedicate 1 week to this verse. And I will try this formula that's being presented by Raghunath Das Goswami and encouraged by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is the chief inspirator. He's the chief person to inspire us in the mood of Rupa Goswami and in the ways of Rupa Goswami and in the method of bhajan, which will push us forward in the service of Rupa Goswami. So he's saying, listen, this is one of my secrets, right? He has 274 secrets. There's something like 274 verses collected in this book. So there's 274 secrets that he's pulling out of his heart to give to us. So this is one. So if we can mix our hearts with Raghunath Das Goswami's heart, there's a chance that one drop of the turbulent ocean of his pure moods of love will splash on us. One drop. That's all we need, right? Then we will experience what it's like to love Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we seriously want to remember Radha and Krishna and ultimately love and serve them, then this mood of natural relation, lokik sad bandhuvat, intimate affection, must arise. If we are predominated by fear, awe, reverence, a mood of opulence and aishvarya, which is called aishvarya, Gyan Mahi Bhakti, towards Radha and Krishna, we will never enter the blissful realm of Braj. Alright, we don't have that mood now. But if we chant the holy name and become deeply absorbed in these verses and writings of those that have that relationship with Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna, then something can come into our hearts by their mercy. Because that's, we were mentioning the other day, in all the astakams, at the end of the astakams by these same acharyas like Rupa and Raghunath, they give so many benedictions. So each one of this is one verse from one of those asticams, from one of those prayers. So we can recite the entire asticam. That's also a devotional practice, as we mentioned, and a shruti phal or phal shruti is there, and then we can take one verse, one shloka of the asticam, and then chant japa, read the verse, and pray to Raghunath Das Goswami and the Gaura Hari. You're giving this idea, this line of hankering, and you're crying, oh, Raghunath Das, I can't even approach the tips of your toenails, but please be kind to me. I want to see, when, in the path of my vision, you want to see him again, well that's fine, all glories to you, but I want to see him just once. And you've seen him so many times, and you're hankering, and I'm sure he'll show himself to you, so please, will you be kind to me, and let me see him. So in this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is giving tips on practicing bhajan, which we've been describing. He addresses Lord Chaitanya, not as Lord Chaitanya, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Sachi Shuno, Sachi Nandan, the son of, Suna means a son, the son of Mother Sachi. And the Acharyas explain that the mother is very kind and affectionate, and her duty is protection and nourishment and gentle encouragement. She protects the child, she nourishes the child with her very body, the substances of her body, her breast milk, and she also gives gentle encouragement. She encourages him, please stand, please talk, please walk, isn't it? Please be a good boy, etc. So the idea that, why does Raghunath Das Goswami call Lord Chaitanya Sachi Shuno, or Sachi Nandan? Because the compassion of Gaura Sundara is just like a mother. In other words, Gaura Sundara will protect us and nourish us and gently encourage us along the path of bhakti. Mother Sachi is known as Jagat Mata, just like Janava Mata. So Mother Sachi is also known as Jagat Mata. By Advaita Acharya, he called her that. The mother of the universe. So Gaura Hari, having such a merciful mother, she's the universal mother. So what's the son like? He must have a lot of this Vatsalya Bhav and compassion of a mother. So he's merciful and kind, just like a mother, like Mother Sachi. Therefore, Das Goswami is addressing the compassionate Lord of love as Sachi Nandan, or Sri Gaura Hari. So, this is, I wrote 3 points here. Raghunath Das Goswami is giving us 3 tips on bhajan. One is that we can call out to Lord Chaitanya, or cry out to Lord Chaitanya, or pray to him, and any number of names we can. But Raghunath Das is encouraging us in this particular verse to call out Sachi Suno, or Sachi Nandan. And yet commentators on this verse are giving these reasons. It's specific. There are 1,000 names of Krishna and 1,000 names of Radha and 108 names of Mahaprabhu and probably 1,000 names somewhere of Mahaprabhu also. I'm not aware. So each name has particular qualities, and this name is full of motherly affection. And everyone can remember the sweetness, well, hopefully, some mothers aren't so sweet, but generally, when we remember mother, our mother, or any mother, we have sweet memories, fond memories. There's a certain great, intense gratitude there for all motherly. So he's saying, this is the name. When you're crying out, O Sachi Nandan, O Sachi Shuno, please appear again in the path, not again, but please appear in the pathway of my eyes. Please show yourself to me. So he's saying, cry out this name. Or as our god brother, Pujapad Bhaktivallabha Puri Goswami, he says, cry out Gauranga. Because there's so much special purifying power in the word of Gauranga, and so much rasa. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he's saying here, Sachi Shuno. And the second point is that Raghunath Das Goswami, in his prayer, he's teaching us to remember the great compassion of Mahaprabhu and to feel separation from him. Do as I do. They have a phrase in English, do as I do. So he is crying intensely, crying out and feeling this great separation. So we should try to pray to him that some of these feelings of separation will come to us. And maybe, as we said, he's a turbulent ocean of feelings of separation and love for Krishna. So if we get next to him, if we get near him, or near that ocean of his separation, and we become close to him by our prayers, by our trying to follow his example and follow his teachings, then some drops of that ocean may sprinkle on us. Then we'll find ourselves overwhelmed with a feeling of hankering. And that will be very conducive and very favorable for our bhajan, for our progress in chanting and practicing bhakti. The third tip that he's giving here is that we should offer prayers like this while chanting japa, and we should try to be crying and waiting for Sachi Nandan's darshan with utmost longing and hope. When will Sachi Nandana Gaura Hari appear on the pathway of my eyes? There's a certain, in the early day, in the 70s, the Gnostics and Pashandis, the atheistic class of people, they used to accuse the Hare Krishnas that we were being programmed, and that they were trying to deprogram us, isn't it? And there was a group of people like this. So it is a fact that we are trying to program ourselves, because Maya has already made software for everyone. Maya has made a software program for everyone, and we're all moving precisely according to the software program that she's given to all of us. But we want to reprogram ourselves, and this is one of the ways, is by offering prayers like this and while chanting japa. We chanting japa, we chant one round, and then we chant this prayer, and then we remember or recite the translation, and then this will be very, very helpful. Because as I mentioned, Raghunath Das Goswami is still here, because someone once asked a question: if Krishna is so busy, engaged in pastimes, if you look at his schedule, he's an extremely busy person. Every 24 minutes of the day, he's doing something. It's called danda. There's 60 dandas in a day, 60 24-minute periods. Krishna's engaging in 60 different pastimes every day. And within that danda, there's so many variations, and even many, many pastimes in one danda. In one danda of 24 minutes, he sometimes does so many things. So he's very busy. So someone once asked a question: if we pray to Krishna, it seems that he's too busy to hear our prayers. So are we just casting prayers into the ether or throwing, a bottle in the ocean, putting our name inside a bottle and throwing it in the ocean and hope it arrives on distant shores? We're casting out into space, Krishna, are you up there? Do you hear me? So he may not hear you because he's quite busy. But Raghunath Das, and he's left this planet, but Raghunath Das and the great Acharyas, they're all ears. They're all ears, and that is their service to the Lord. Kripa Shakti Murti. They are the form of mercy. Krishna's mercy is walking amongst us. Krishna's mercy is talking to us. Krishna's mercy is looking at us. Krishna's mercy is embracing us. Krishna's mercy is guiding us in the form of the devotees, the pure devotees and advanced devotees. They are the repositories of Krishna's mercy. So Raghunath Das Goswami is here, and he's saying, yes, I hear your prayers, and I will help you. And countless number of devotees have attained perfection by taking shelter of the Goswamis, especially doing bhajan near their samadhis or their bhajan kutirs, and have had extremely extraordinary experiences. what they claim is saksha darshan, voices, empowerment, transformations, so many things. By doing bhajan, just by the physical play, the external bhajan kuti or the samadhi, our own Gurudev, our Srila Prabhupada, when he was at Radha Damodar from 1959 to 1965, he was, of course, absorbed in bhajan and translating and serving. And he claims, he told one time, I think it was, he told Harikesh Prabhu, and then Harikesh told Hari Sauri, and then Hari Sauri, because Hari Sauri told me this directly, that once, that as I mentioned, that when the great devotees are in bhajan, some these Rupa Goswami and others, they can appear. They're not dead and gone. So Prabhupada was doing, he was doing bhajan in his kitchen. He was honoring prasad and looking out the window, Rupa Goswami's samadhi, backside. And then all of a sudden he saw standing in front of him, I mean, in the West they might call this an apparition or something like that. But Prabhupada said, I saw Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami appeared to me, standing next to me in my kitchen and at Radha Damodar one afternoon. And he said to me, don't worry. Go to the West. Your mission will be successful. Just preach the teachings of the Goswamis and I will be right with you. I will be right with you and give you all success. Don't worry. Go. So one night, Srila Prabhupada was, years later, in the 70s, Prabhupada was getting some, he was talking or something in the night to Harikesh Prabhu, and he said, do you know, Srila Prabhupada said, do you know that when I was at some moment of reverie, I think it's reverie or reminiscence, and Prabhupada said, One day when I was at Radha Damodar, Rupa Goswami appeared to me, and this anecdote I just narrated. And then Harikesh said, Prabhupada, I've never heard that. It's never been written, and we never heard that. He said, yes. So then, that was late at night, the next morning he met Hari Sauri, and he said, I heard this fantastic thing from Srila Prabhupada last night. And then he said, really? I never heard that. So then Hari Sauri, he went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, Harikesh Prabhu, he said that this and this happened. Is it true? And Prabhupada, he was a little bit angry. Well, we don't know what he was, but I'm saying angry, but it seemed like he was a little disturbed, and he moved his hands like this and he looked at Hari Sauri in a very grave voice and ominous voice. He said, oh, everyone knows that. And he answered in such a way, everyone knows that. In other words, the door is closed. Don't ask any more questions. Because I asked Hari Sauri, then, you know, did you ask more or what happened? He said, by the answer Prabhupada gave, I could understand that I was privy to something very special that happened to leak out, and I better keep it under my hat. And so because I interviewed him for one particular book I was working on, actually Radha Damodar book, and I said, I want to put this in the Radha Damodar book, and I don't know if I did, I can't remember. But he said, well, if you put it in, don't say that I said or something. So I don't remember putting it in, but it came out later. And then Garga Muni Prabhu, he heard about this, and he had a painting commissioned by one Russian artist, and he of Prabhupada sitting on his desk. Have you seen that? And he's sitting there, and then he's looking up like this, in love and appreciation and astonishment and whatever. And Rupa Goswami is standing there, and that painting, I think it's hanging in his room. Doesn't he have it? He had it in his apartment at one time a few years ago, and he used that painting as a CD, you know, like, what do you call it, cover, what do you call it, you know, like a book cover, like for CD. What do you call it? Label. CD label for some CD about Srila Prabhupada. So Rupa Goswami, but the point is that even, you know, Rupa Goswami can appear to you. These are the Kripa Shakti Murtis, the Mahajans that are living with us, the Mahajans that are living just, they're living, they're also, Rupa Goswami is also living with us, and Raghunath Das Goswami is living with us, and Krishnas Kaviraj, they're just behind the curtain. If you go to a drama, you go to a stage, and you come in, you just see a black curtain, or usually a red or dark blue or something, I think so. You sit down, and there's a lot of hustle and bustle, and everyone's finding their seat, and there's a big red curtain, and the lights are off, and you're in the darkness, and you see, there's a little bit of light, so you can see the curtain, but the theater is basically dark. And you're wondering, well, when they pull the curtains, what will I see? Or who will I see? Then the curtain falls, whoosh, and then you see the Radha and Krishna sitting on a throne, and then they start offering arti. There's Astasakis there, and it's a Rasleela performance, a Jai Singara. So there's a curtain. All the acharyas, all the Mahajans, and the Rupanugadara, they're all right behind the curtain. They're right very near and dear to us. And if we can just if we can just open the curtain on the stage of our heart, then we'll see Rupa Goswami, like Prabhupada, Raghunath Das Goswami. So what is that curtain that's separating us from having the darshan of the great acharyas and having their direct mercy come through and help us? What is that curtain? The curtain is the curtain of desire. Like you say, the cause of the Karna Samudra or whatever, you know, it's the ocean of cause. I mean, we have there's desire. There's like an ocean of desire in our hearts. There's that painting, I think, in the Bhagavatam once that had an ocean with waters and writes desire in the waters in the ocean. So when we actually desire, yes, I really am hankering for the darshan of Raghunath Das Goswami or for his mercy, then as Prabhupada had this experience with Rupa Goswami, then we can have the experience. So their mercy is available, and then hankering to see Lord Chaitanya, that's also available. So is there any questions on this point, or I'll go to the next verse? What's the time?
4:46.
Yeah, so we'll keep going. Anything more? Okay. No one has the book, I guess, with them, huh? It's too much to carry all the way out here. So I'm going, those are two verses from the Mangalacharan. And now we'll go, because the actual Chaitadavan Marjana verse, which is this first Pratam Yam Sarna, is about that, and Shraddha. It doesn't begin until verse 11, or I think it's 11. So this is verse 6. And here, he quotes a verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, Srila Bhaktivinoda, from chapter 11, verse 237. I guess there's no electricity, that's why the fans. Yena janma, shate puravam, pasudeva samarjita, tanmuke harinamani sadatishtanti bharata. O best of the dynasty of Bharat, the holy name of Sri Hari is eternally present only in the mouth of one who has perfectly worshipped Vasudev for hundreds of births. Krishna tells in Gita, Satatam Kirtiyanta Mam Yatantas Chandriyavrata, always chanting.